And I want you guys to open your Bibles this morning with me to chapter 5 of Romans as we continue verse by verse and chapter by chapter expositorily through this great book written by the Apostle Paul. If you'd stand with me, we're just going to read verses 1 and 2 and then we're going to kind of develop from there. You'll probably see that we have it also up on the screen. Not a bad idea to have your Bible in hand, though. So you get used to using your Bible, finding things. And this is what it says. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I'm going to keep reading a little bit further. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Let's pray. We thank you again for this morning. We thank you for your word. And we just pray, Lord, that as we preach this morning, that the Holy Spirit would be the one who's guiding us and leading us and instructing us. We thank you, Lord, for this passage, Lord, that we're going to learn the benefits of our faith and all of the links that we have to a life because we're right with you. We've been made right with you because we have a right standing with you. What does it mean? Why is it important? How come it matters? And we ask you to guide us then and protect us as we preach, and as we listen, Lord, we pray, Lord, for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have spent four chapters now looking at and considering the fact that we're justified through faith. And we've defined and we try to define and we try to understand the meaning of some of these words, if you will. And to be justified with God means to be right with God. And there can be no better place than to be in a right standing with God. In other words, in a right relationship with God. In a personal walk with God. So Paul, he's anticipating and looking ahead, and there may be those that as we have now entered into this right standing with God, the next question is, now what? Is this a place where we not only begin, but where does it lead? Where does this go as Christians, as a family? Now, in a relationship now established with the Father. And I think it's important for us to realize that Paul, when he starts off in verse 1, therefore, taking everything we've learned about justification, and he says it, having been justified by faith, he declares a couple things that follow that faith that justifies us. And he says, first and foremost, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the legal decree has been established. That is, we're justified. We're no longer guilty before God. We no longer have this threat hovering over us that we will one day stand before God and have to give account. But because of what Jesus has done for us, His righteousness, that is Jesus' righteousness, has been given to all of us who believe. right? The guilty sentence has been transformed into a sentence of justified because of our belief, because of our faith. Is this something in which we can feel secure? Do we just enter in? Is this just the initial stages? What now? Do we, now that we're in, now that we're right with God, how do we proceed? How do we go on? Do we have to be afraid that we... And I think that one of the questions that Paul is trying to answer and one of the things that he's trying to give us is security. And this is a question as to whether or not our salvation is secure. And there's been a lot of conversation in the Christian church about that question. In other words, are we eternally secure? And you may hear and have heard of terms like, for instance, can we lose our salvation? Can we backslide? Can we fall from grace? Do we have to worry now that we're in? Now what do we do? And Paul's going to answer all those. And I think what we're going to discover is when we have a faith that saves, a genuine faith that saves, that justifies us, we're secure eternally. Period. Because it's God who keeps us. In other words, there's this thing in Christianity that now that we're saved, now that we've entered in, now that we have a right standing with God, that we now have to do a maintenance program to make sure we stay in. No. He brings us in. He takes us all the way to the finish line. Because we're in the promise that Jesus told his disciple in John 6, that no one can snatch us out of his hand. Isn't it? Feel wonderful to know that if God has touched your heart and you have responded by faith, that you are secure in Christ. Now notice how this reads. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what he says, the first benefit that we have is that we have peace with God. This is the first benefit. Right? Why do we have peace with God? Because the price has been paid in full by the work of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. So this isn't a peace that we have with God that is simply an emotional or this idea that we have tranquility with God. What this is telling us is that the battle between God and us is finished. Guess what? He won on Calvary's cross. What did he win on Calvary's cross? Us. He won us. He won the battle for us. Now, one of the things we saw also was that the scriptures here in Romans told us that the wrath of God was revealed from heaven. That there was an account that we had to give to God for our sinful condition. And so at some point, God, or if you will, is not so much that we might say, well, I was never against God. I was never battling God. I was never at war with God. That's not the issue here. The reality is that he was against us. That he was at war against us because of our sin. And now that war is finished. There is a ceasing of God being against us. We could literally say then, when he says here in verse 1, that because we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Or what do we have with God? We have a relationship that's based on not enmity, but on amnesty, if you will. Amnesty, if you go back to the Spanish root word, is amistad, or it's where we get the famous word amigo, friend. We are now friends with God because of what he did through his Son, Jesus Christ, on Calvary's cross. Okay? Not just a psychological tranquility, that's also part of a relationship with Him, but the fact that we are no longer in a relationship with God where He's against us. As a matter of fact, Paul, and I'm going to leap ahead into Romans 8, he said that if God be for us, who can be against us? If the one who could judge us is no longer judging us because Christ was judged for us in our place at the cross, then what do we now have? Well, we have Him for us. He's reconciled us. The very one who was against us is now for us. We don't have to worry about that any longer, right? We now can have a relationship of peace with God. That's what Paul is saying here. And notice how this occurs, or why this is possible. At the end of, at the beginning of verse 2, he goes on, well, rather, verse 1, it says, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot move away from that reality. We have this peace with God, not because of us, but because of whom? Jesus Christ. That's comforting. It's not about us. It's about what Jesus has done for us. Notice how verse 2 starts, as verse 1 ends, through our Lord Jesus Christ, and then it says again, through Him. It repeats through twice in a matter of a couple words. It's all through Christ. Jesus is our mediator. Now, the reason why we can have security now is because, remember, once Jesus resurrected from the dead, once He spent those 40 days, if you will, with His disciples, giving them their final instructions, He ascended to heaven and He sat down at the right hand of the Father. What's He doing there? He's mediating, or the scriptures in Hebrews say, ever making intercession for us. The reason why we're secure, not only do we get to go and enter into His kingdom and enter into this peace with God, because a lot of people say, oh, that's a great start. Well, no, not only is it a great start, it's a marvelous continuing. Why? Because we got all kinds of issues in our lives and all kinds of weaknesses and hang-ups and bad habits, and we fail and falter and we're weak. So how does this continue? Because He ever lives to make intercession for us. He went to the Father, and Jesus' primary role right now is our lawyer. He's our advocate. So the reason why we continue once we enter in, the reason why our salvation is eternally secure, is because Christ is speaking up for us. In other words, right now, in the present. It's not only about what He's done for us, and we know that it's a fact, and that's why we're justified or made right with God. It's not only what He did on Calvary's cross. That was important. It's huge. Paying the penalty of our sins at Calvary's cross. That's a past, right? There's one of the beautiful things about our faith is that we can look in the past and see how much His grace was present and His mercy and His love for us. But we can also know that in the present, in the now, in the very moment that we're breathing right at this second, that He's with us. Amen? I can get a little bit excited about it. You understand that? Right now, it doesn't matter what you've done or who you are. If you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, He is with you permanently. I don't know if you guys can wake up this church, man. It continues. It's perpetual. It's not like, oh, one day you're good with Him and one day you're not. He's always good with you. Whether you are faithful or not, He is always faithful with you. And He will bring you to a place as we walk alongside of Him to where you will begin to understand the security that you have in Christ. You belong to Him. He has redeemed you. He has bought you with a price. A very steep price. And He did that, and we're going to see in Romans here in a few minutes. Having done that, we get to continue. And I would dare to say, even if you go astray, I'm rapping already, He will leave the 99 to go hunt down the lamb that's lost. Even if you mess up and blow it, He will find you. And you will reach a place once, if you were to walk and lose your path, the way, you will know you are. And you will begin to cry out to Him as a lamb would in the dark or in a dangerous place. And the wolves would gather around you, but you will not ever be harmed to the point to where you will lose the relationship with Him. And you know that in your hearts because you have believed in Him genuinely. Amen? You know that in your hearts. I know that there have been, and this is not a testimony, if you will, but maybe it is a personal one. I know there have been times in my life when I strayed away. And I know that He's brought that hook and His staff and yanked me back in. And I know that there have been times in my life where I was in danger. And the Lord, yet in His faithfulness and His love and mercy, protected me. Even when I wasn't even aware of how much danger I was in. Is anyone else could say that? Amen. You know, these verses matter because what Paul's trying to do is establish in our minds that now that we're in, now that we're right with God, is that all there is to it? Uh-uh. You continue and you are in a relationship that continues to grow in faith, in purpose. We're on a mission, if you will. To borrow from the Blues Brother movie some years back, we're on a mission for God because He was on a mission for us. Amen? So Paul says there then, what do we have first with God? We have peace. I don't know if you realize how important that is, that God is no longer against us, that the war has finished. Is there someone here who's warring or wrestling with God? You don't have to. He's already made peace with you. And that's all that matters. You just need to accept it, and then you will have peace with Him. And then, as a byproduct or a fruit of the relationship, then you will have peace in your heart. Because you will actually have a relationship with the one who's called the Prince of Peace. I think what's happening a lot of times is we as Christians don't realize that there is no longer any need to contend with God. It's over. That was settled at Calvary's cross. We now have something else. And look how it reads. Verse 2, through Him we have obtained access by faith. So not only do we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, but through Him, that is Jesus Christ, we have also, notice it says also, we can just keep adding on the blessings. I like that about walking with Him. It's kind of exciting to know, I wonder what's coming next. I wonder what He'll do next in my life. I wonder how He'll bless next. He's going to, and He has. Amen? And I know Jerry and Rose have walked with the Lord for many, many, many years. And isn't it exciting to know that there's always a next? There's another day that we can hope for, and another blessing, and another grace, and another revelation and understanding of His love for us. There's no way to measure it. It's unlimited. The problem is we can't take it all at once. He has to measure it out to us, distribute out and to us His blessings as we grow. Yeah, we have this peace with God first. And it's through Him, verse 2, that we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. There's two things being said there. We have access. You have access to God the Father through Christ, just like you would have access to your earthly father or to someone that you love. You have every right, every approved permission, if you want to call it that, to go directly to your Father. This was huge. Because the Jews didn't have access. And remember Paul's in his writings, he's filtering it through the idea that the Jews, they had an opposite view of their relationship with God. They saw God as one who was unapproachable because of His holiness and their sinfulness. So they had an opposite view. So when Paul says they have access, this is gigantic to the Jewish mindset. You mean we could go to Him? Remember, there was this Moses was told when there was a burning bush, just to give you an example, he says, hey, take your feet off because you're standing on holy ground. Take your shoes off. Take your sandals off. Don't take your feet off. That might be painful. Take your shoes off or your sandals. Why? Because your sandals have been doing what? Taking you here, there, and everywhere, and you've been accumulated on those shoes, dirt and stuff. Take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. When they had built the tabernacle in the Old Testament, the Jews had like different levels of entry. So once you entered in, you were in the courts, and then there was a Gentile court, or even the temple. Then there was the place where women could go, because remember, there's a lot of segregation in those times. And then there was the final court where the men could go, and then there was where the priests could go, and then as you went further into the temple, like the inner court, and then you would go into the holy place, and then there was the holiest of places, where only the high priest could go once a year, carrying in the blood of the sacrifices. There was this idea that God was not approachable because He was a holy God. The Jews had this thinking in their minds, right? But we have access. We have access to Christ, to the Father. Amen? How? By faith. Again, we can't get away from the idea of faith. Into this grace, we have access. Right? And it goes on to say there, through Him, as we read in verse 2. Everything is because of Him. Right? And what is it that not only that we have access, but what also do we do there? We stand. See, what I want you to see is that this standing is telling us about something that's permanent. We're not knocked off our feet. We're not thrown down. We're standing firm. We're secure. When you're standing, no matter what happens, you're firm. You're on your two feet. When you're not on your feet, it's a problem. Consider maybe even the idea of the analogy of boxing. Or I don't know of any sport that if you're not on your feet. Or if you happen to be off of your feet. It indicates a position of vulnerability and weakness. But we are in a position of standing firmly, permanently, through Christ. I think that's what Paul's trying to tell us. And again, he mentions grace. Verse 2 again, through Him we all have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We have access. We have peace. We have grace. We have standing. Right? And we rejoice. This is something that I'm wondering about. And I pray that we would, and notice how it's a developing thing. So first there's justification, then there's just peace, right? Then we have access. We're getting further closer. We're getting nearer to our Lord, right? Notice how it's, He's inviting us to Himself. The closer we get to Him, the more benefits there are. It's a little chain of events or steps, if you will. And I always ask myself the question, what step are you on, or where have you gotten stuck? Because I know there are Christians, I meet them all the time, they don't have peace. They're Christians and they're miserable. Have you met them before? Everything out of their mouth is negative or murmuring and complaining. And doubt. And fear. Not peace. Not standing. Not an understanding, a healthy understanding of grace, God's unmerited favor. Now I ask myself when I'm studying this, what's this all about? And he's showing me this is the way it works. Because of your faith, you're right with God. Because you're right with God, you have peace with God. Because you have peace with God, you have access to God. Because you have access with God, you have great a standing with God, a firmness, a security with God. And not only that, we rejoice. That has anything to do with joy? Is there joy in your life? Oh, I'm asking you to search your hearts. Joy. In that, because of your relationship with God through Christ, and because of these things that we've named one after another, this chain of benefits, this pearl necklace that leads from one pearl to the next, that once you go to the next pearl, you want to discover the next one. Right? Once you get to one certain station in life and you're enjoying, you have this peace and this knowledge of access to God and this grace in your life and this faith that's there because all these things are there because of faith, and you're standing firmly and then there's joy. Not because of the circumstances, because there are circumstances that aren't joyful in spite of them. Irregardless of them, no matter what comes your way, there's a joy down deep in your heart. Why am I saying all this stuff? Because it's written. Because it's right here in the Scriptures. Well, this rejoicing that we have is because we have hope. Hope in the glory of God. I don't even know if you understand what that means. We will one day, even though it's measured now because our bodies couldn't endure it, we will be one day experience the full glory of God. That's the hope. Christ in us, Paul would say, the hope of glory. What is glory? The full expression of who God is, we will know. Do we have hope? And notice how this verse is not only dealing with what was done for us in the past, justification through Christ because of Calvary's cross, not only of what we have in the present, peace, right? And a right standing or firm standing, a security in the present as we've seen. And not only do we have this ability to rejoice, but because we have something to hope for in the future, and that's Christ's glory. So we're covered past, present, and future. Everything is covered in Christ. Amen? You're totally secure because of His past work, His present work for you, in that He's ever interceding for you as your mediator at the very moment. And you can look and know that one day you will stand in His glory, in His kingdom. That's what Paul's doing here. We just don't get to come in to the relationship with God, a right relationship with Him. We just don't get to enter into His kingdom, and that's it. From here on out, let's see how you do it. Let's see if you can make it. Let's see if you can survive. Have good luck. I hope you have some good luck. Be careful. You could backslide. Be careful. You could lose your salvation. Never. Absolutely false. Not because of who we are, because it's the power of God that keeps us. If you've walked with Him for a little while, you know that's true. And sometimes He allows us to go, we're going to look at it in a minute, He allows us to go through difficulties. He calls it tribulations. He calls it here sufferings. He allows it for a reason, so that He could prove Himself to you, and so that you can know it is not you when you come to the end of yourself, like Abraham did, unable, no matter what, to produce a child because of the deadness of Sarah's womb and because of the advancement of his age. It was an impossibility for God to keep His promise through the body, the weak body of Abraham and Sarah, but not impossible with the divine power of God that was accessible to them because of faith. It's amazing. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We look through a glass darkly, Paul would say to the Corinthians, but then we'll see Him face to face. No longer in, if you will, through a glass, but completely transparent. Nothing hidden. Amen? Yeah. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, see how he continues to just like build? Look at verse 3. Not only that, oh. Did you guys see verse 3? You should underline not only that or circle it. Because not only that, remember, as we're reading here, right? Not only that means there's more. There's this, and now there's not only that, but then he goes on to say there's more. What is the more? He says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings or in our tribulations, in our difficulties. That sounds a little bit like I don't want to go there. You don't have a choice. It's part of the process. God allows it for a reason. Because what is going to produce, and you'll see the word produce repeated, over and over and over again. Right? Verse 3, not only that, see, what I'm trying to get you to see is the language. There's this stuff that's happened. Right? There's what's going on now. Right? And not only that, but even though, and he goes on to say, but we rejoice not only in the good things, right, or in the blessings, but in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces. Okay, so here is now a further leap ahead. Tribulation, difficulties, problems, trials, sufferings produce. Producing means life. You ever go to a supermarket and you see a place where it's called produce? It's what's been produced by the earth. Fruit, vegetables, life, sustenance, food. See, there's a process, right? We need it to live. Well, suffering produces something, or tribulation produces something. And what's the first thing that it produces? It says here, endurance. Endurance. Okay, I did a couple things here. I decided to kind of like find some definitions. So tribulations or sufferings could mean, I like to find words that I think will grab us, hardships. Anybody ever been in a hardship? That's when you say, man, this is really hard. Anybody ever said that? Man, and then you're like, you're even talking to yourself about how hard it is. Man, this is, I don't know, maybe you say, this is a bummer. What I'm going through. Good. Now you know where you're at. Now you can produce. See, that's what God ultimately wants. He wants to produce something good in your life. And it only is possible through the fire. It's only possible that gold is refined through fire. Right? After the storm comes the calm. So he says, we glory in sufferings or tribulations or in our hardships, knowing that the suffering or the hardships produce, and in this particular Bible translation, it says, produces endurance. What is that? And I made up a word. Triedness. You've been tried. You've been trialed. It produces triedness. One of the translations says perseverance. Right? I like what it calls it here, endurance. You endure. You make it. You get through. Oh, you were tried. You were tested. Right? But you passed. Passing's a good thing. Better than failing. If you fail, you got to repeat the course again. Not good. If you pass, you move on. So trials or hardships produce endurance. Or again, I learned it years ago, triedness. So when you face another obstacle or another challenge, you say to yourself, oh, I've tried this before. I'll be all right. I'm going to make it. Have you ever tried, ahi ahi sushi? Well, I don't really like raw fish. Oh, you're going to love it. You put a little bit of ginger on it, a little soy sauce, and that green stuff. What's it called again? Wasabi. And you dip it, and you eat it, and hey, that stuff actually tastes pretty good. You know, I'm not really into raw fish. I like mine kind of cooked, but I've tried it. And guess what? It's okay. It's not bad. See, because tribulation produces triedness. You endured. You made it. It's a good thing to make it. Just don't make me try livers and onion, okay? That's just me. No offense to any of you that like it. But you tried it. You endured. And now notice something here, and I have to say this. This particular passage, verses 3 and 4, are called the golden chain of Christian growth. Because one thing produces another thing, or one thing leads to another thing, and each thing that it leads to is greater than the thing you experienced before. Do you see how the Christian life should be lived? It should be lived that you go from one thing to another thing, to another thing, to another thing, but every one of those things, as you go through them, you are enduring and you are producing what? It says here, it produces, in verse 4, and endurance produces character. What does triedness produce? Character. What is character? So I looked that up too, and I messed around with those words because I'm always trying to help you understand what the Bible says. And character, you could translate into spiritual maturity. Or you could say proven virtue. Virtue is a good thing. Or, excuse me, you could say that, according to this translation, endurance produces character. You could say that endurance or triedness produces integrity. What is integrity? Integral. When something is integral, what does that mean? I'll give it to you. This is, of course, from the book of Bob, which isn't in the Bible, but I'm just trying to break it down for you. That this endurance produces character, or it produces this integrity. What's integrity? What's character? It's this maturity, yeah. But what it is, it's togetherness. You got it together. You ever walk around and say, man, that dude does not have it together. There's a few loose nuts somewhere. It's a good thing to have it together. You guys see how this was working? Have I succeeded in explaining this golden chain that leads from one thing to another thing? We have something to look forward to. But not only look forward to, we can look back and be secure in what Christ has done for us. We can live in the moment and know that we are secure because He ever intercedes for us. He mediates for us. And we can also look to the forward and knowing that it's going to produce integrity in our lives. Spiritual maturity or togetherness. It all works together for good. for those that love the Lord and are called according to His purposes. And character produces hope. Been there, done that. Going to be all right. And hope does not put us to shame. God will never, if we hope in Him, put us to shame. That means He'll never let us down. He's got our back. He's more together than we are. Why is all this possible? Look at the last part of verse 5. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. That's my message. God bless you. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your presence in our midst this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for helping me and helping us as we see the glory of the gospel. Help us, Lord, to absorb it. Help us, Lord, to understand it. But most importantly, help us to accept it, to make it our reality. To make it ours, because it is ours. This is our inheritance. It rightfully belongs to us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.